Someone told you knee pain is just getting older? They were wrong. The Joint Relief Institute offers fast joint pain relief covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
I can only give you love that lasts forever. And the promise to be near each time you call.
Well, welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. That's the voice of Megan McDonough, who has been a bright light on the Chicago music scene for many, many years, who also happens to be a great friend of one of my guests, Jason Brett, the renowned movie producer, and they actually did a duet last week on Jason's porch. Jason really couldn't hold his own with that voice, but he did his best. We're also here with Kate Hannigan, the author of a new book called The Detective's Assistant, which focuses on the first, maybe, Kate, is it first female detective ever or the first Pinkerton female detective?
Well, she's the first Pinkerton detective, but I think she's the first woman detective, at least in the United States. There was a French female detective
in
the
1800s.
Who cares? Exactly. We're focused on...
We're interested only in what happens
in the neighborhood, yeah.
And the interesting thing about it, well, Kate spoke at a sixth grade class at the Ancona School, and one of the students in that class happened to be a little cute, unbelievably cute little girl named Fiona Kogan. This is how I first heard of Kate and her book. Fiona's like, "Dad, this woman is so nice and her book is so good." And Fiona's a very enthusiastic kid. I'm sure she would have said the same thing about, you know, Herman Melville had he been there. "Oh, he's so much fun, Dad. He's really a great guy." This is the reason I know of the book. And so I got in touch with Kate, and Kate said, "Rick, I just want you to know, I think you should know that I'd be very excited to come on the show. And the book's just been optioned for a movie. And I don't know if you've heard of this movie producer named named Jason Brett." And I said, I wrote back, said, "Heard of him? I think, literally, believe I've known him for my entire life." So
and he's a fraud.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing here. We're going to talk a lot about the book. We're going to talk about the movie and how a movie is made from a book. Optioning a book and being interested in making it into a film are two vastly different things to seeing it on the screen. But first, because this is the person, and I think Kate will appreciate this, Fiona Kogan, who with her teacher Elizabeth has spent some of this year learning to write reviews, I asked her, I may have to pay her something for having done this, but she wrote this today, and here she is, not live, but on tape. Fiona Kogan reviews The Detective's Assistant.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in those mysterious times when detectives prowled the streets of Chicago? Did you ever wonder why they picked men over women to roam the city hunting for miscreants? Meet Kate Warren, the first woman detective working night and day for Pinkerton's detective agency. The Detective's Assistant tells the story of Kate Warren, Chicago's first real-life woman detective. When the story begins, Kate is living alone in Chicago, and her only worries are for herself. Then, into her life enters Nell, her niece who has lost all of her family except for Kate. Kate, not prepared or pleased, is at first reluctant to take care of Nell, but as Nell blossoms into a fine young detective, their relationship changes drastically. While Kate ferociously hunts down criminals, Nell is investigating other things involving her family's past and the fate of a friend's future. One of the things I loved in the book was the mysterious and witty puzzles about the maple tree. Now, I don't want to give anything away, but as you continue to read the letters between Nell and her friend Gemma, I hope you will find the coded messages as clever as I did. Another thing I loved in the book were the adventures Kate and Nell went on as detectives. There's so much fun and imagination put into the creation of the adventures. They're just like little stories within the big story, and I think that is a wonderful way to write a book. Richard Peck, the author of another of my favorite books, A Long Way from Chicago, has this to say about the book. Quote, In these witty and well-researched pages, Kate Hannigan has found just the right blend of fact and fiction, history and mystery, unquote. I could not agree more. In conclusion, if you were to read any book this summer, let it be The Detective's Assistant.
Fiona Kogan, I could not love you more, and you actually seem to be, at soon to be, you're going to be 12 years old on Wednesday, already a better critic than I am, and I've been doing this my whole life, and actually, Aubrey and Ella are going, and a better broadcaster than I am, too, and I've been doing this for a while. What do you think, Kate?
I could not be more thrilled with that. That's great to hear.
Well, she means every word of it, too. There's no...
Use the word miscreant?
I actually wrote that down.
Catherine and I will have to go to the library and find out what that means.
I'm pretty impressed.
But
that's
I think
great.
We have another review coming from another mutual friend, a friend of Jason's and mine, a little later in the show. The book has been incredibly well received, is it not? Not just from the soon-to-be-12 critic Fiona Kogan, but from in general.
It's been a fun ride. It's been really fun.
How did the book come to be? You're a former newspaper person.
Yeah, I like facts.
Where'd you work?
We moved here from San Francisco, where I was working at the San Francisco Chronicle, and before that, the Dallas Morning News.
How did you like the newspaper business?
I loved it. I loved it, but I got to a point where I wanted to stop editing other people's writing and do my own, and I wanted to do something creative. And so the really fun part about historical fiction is you get to take those facts, and then you get to kind of create your world around those facts.
Did you search for a story? One of the amazing things about the book, and I consider myself something of a Chicago historian, I had never heard of this female detective. I've heard of the Pinkertons.
Yeah.
And Jason Brett had heard of this female detective. How did you come upon this character?
You know, I was researching a book about camels in the American West. And eight
camels?
Yes.
Okay.
So nobody steal my idea out there. But camels were used in the American West. When gold was discovered in California, we needed roads to get there. And somebody had the great idea to build a road on a southern route. And someone else had the great idea that, well, it's awful for the horses and the donkey, you know, the mules.
Yeah.
What we need are camels. And so the U.S. government actually paid $30,000 to send a ship to the Middle East to gather up camels. If you can imagine a ship loaded with 40 camels crossing the ocean back to the United States. I thought that was a great story.
I'm looking at Jason Breton. He's nothing. I wonder how difficult that would be to film. I wonder how much that would cost.
What was the last great camel
blockbuster? Yeah.
We need one, obviously, right?
So you were
so
digging into that story, which is interesting, frankly.
1856 was my year, and the great punchline of the entire story is that road built by camels turned into Route 66, the greatest American icon of the highway icon. So I was looking that up, and I made my way to Chicago, 1856, and then I just came across one little nugget about Kate Warren walking into Alan Pinkerton's office. He assumed there for a secretary position. She talked her way into having him hire her as a detective.
What immediately – I can sense the appeal of that.
Oh, it was wonderful. And he is quoted in his writing about the early cases that she said she could worm out the secrets from the wives and girlfriends of the city's crooks and criminals. And I just thought, this is great. And so I just dropped everything and just ran with it. And it was a thrill.
Jason, you had heard of this person, had you not? How?
I had. Several years ago when Stuart Oaken and I were developing what became a movie called About Last Night.
Legendary movie. Set in Chicago. David Mamet, based on a David Mamet play.
And written by two Chicago writers,
Tim Kazurinsky
from Second City and Denise DeClue, a former
from the newspaper
exactly,
business.
A newspaper person. And so Denise had this spec script at the time. She said, do you want to read it? And I read it. It was called The Pinkerton Lady.
Wow.
And it was about Kate Warren. It was and it was fascinating. And she left me with one little nugget of information that I found that actually has stayed with me now decades and decades, which is that Alan Pinkerton is buried in Graceland Cemetery, an incredible place to
visit.
To visit it. And actually,
you don't want to stick around too long.
I explored it on Friday to find out if this little factoid was true, because it led me to think maybe there was something else to the story other than just the fascinating part that this is the first female detective in history. And that is that Pinkerton's buried, and on one side is his wife, and on the other side is Kate Warren. And so it wasn't until Friday of this week, actually, that I went to Graceland Cemetery.
You're like a detective yourself.
About 40 years later. Yeah. It was a cold case for me. And I get around to everything, eventually cleaning out the sock drawer, going to Graceland.
We all do.
And she is not buried, in fact, on the other side of him from his wife. So there was no sort of salacious angle to the story there. But Pinkerton did have a separate plot for his heroic employees right next to his family plot.
That in a way is even better.
Also worth noting is they still put flowers on at Christmas.
Who
it's
does?
The Pinkerton Company.
Wow.
That's still in existence, the security company.
For reasons that you're going to find out.
Yes,
more
as
in
we
terms
talk,
of the
because
story
you guys
here.
Are both here for an hour, and you will you cannot steal the movie rights to this book because Jason Brett has the movie rights.
Embrace me, my sweet, embraceable you.
Megan McDonough is singing tonight. Embrace Megan McDonough. You can read about her Tuesday in the Tribune. I'm writing about her. I'll do that tomorrow morning. She did do a performance with Jason Brett, and she's doing an upcoming performance at the Woodstock Opera House. And so read all about it. You'll keep hearing her. We're with Kate Hannigan, the author of The Detective's Assistant, a fascinating and lively book about a real-life detective named Kate Warren, who worked for Pinkerton and is one of those characters who's just been buried by history's dust. Why is that, Kate?
Well, what I found when I was digging around and
you immediately, once you discovered this character, you went full bore.
I dropped everything else in my life. My children, my husband, everything, and ran with it. It felt like that giddy rush when you are on a bike, riding downhill, full speed, wind in the hair. It was really fun, and there were some great books. Daniel Stashower has a nice book called The Hour of Peril. Some grown up books about Kate Warren. But one thing I noticed is that some historians completely dismissed her role. You know, history is written by the winners, and the winners looked a certain way and were generally, you know, a certain gender. And so she was dismissed as Pinkerton's lover by a lot of historians. In fact, there was one historian in the biggest case, the thwarting of the Baltimore plot, the assassination plot against Lincoln. She had an alias name. She was called Mrs. Barley and Mrs. B. And a lot of the notes you see between Pinkerton and some of the other agents. And some historian, I remember reading one historian who said, "We'll never know who Mrs. B was." Mm. And I think, we do know.
You do know.
We do know. It was the lady. It was that lady.
Yeah.
So, and one thing I heard in the early part of the research was, well, obviously she was his lover because she was buried next to him in the Graceland plot. And so I went and visited it. And
you discovered
that's
what
when
Jason
I realized what Jason just said. She's buried next to Timothy Webster and George Bangs and these other big players.
You have to just ask yourself, Jason Brett and Kate Hannigan, what an unusual woman this must have been.
Oh, yeah.
To not only make it in a man, but to make it in any kind of world in those days
right.
when women were really subjugated to nothingness.
Yeah. She was a widow at 23, so what's ahead? So when I was trying to write this, I tried to immerse myself in the language and the writing of the time. So I read Uncle Tom's Cabin, and there was a book called Sister Carrie.
Sure,
that's a turn of the century, so it's a little later than this. But a woman's prospects, really, not much.
Well, the setting, too, is a Chicago that is not much detailed even in print. I mean, it's passed over because a lot of, as Jason, you said, I mean, a lot of records were destroyed in the fire of 1871, and there isn't a lot of, there's certainly no, you know, anecdotal kind of stories from that time.
Right.
What did you find about the city itself?
So I tried to, being a newspaper person, I tried to dig up newspaper articles. And so we were, I would basically sum it up as a lawless cesspool.
I can say the same about my agency.
A home. So, yeah, it was really fun to read about, you know, we know about the Palmer House and Potter Palmer as one of the early, you know, gentlemen of our city, establishing his store. And he established it near Lake Street, and it stank to high heaven. And he had to move his store because the carcasses floating down the river made it hard,
to
unpleasant.
Breathe.
It made it hard to breathe.
Hard to breathe.
Yeah.
Jason, when you were reading this book, did you have much sense of the history that she's writing about?
No, actually, that was one of the wonderful aspects to digging into the book, was also then going back and researching the history and Chicago in the 1850s. I mean, Chicago from its founding in 1833 right up through the end of the 1850s went through a boom period as the railroads came here, as the waterways were connected. And as Kate said, it was lawless. There was no police department here. As a matter of fact, Pinkerton himself had come from Scotland, settled in Kane County, I think it was, and came to law enforcement and investigation quite by accident. I think he stopped as a vigilante a theft ring in Kane County.
It was a counterfeit ring.
Counterfeit.
He found some counterfeiters. He was a cooper, and he saw some action on an island in the river, and he went over and discovered that it was a counterfeit operation, and he busted it, and then he thought, I kind of like this.
Yeah, and he was offered to be the magistrate for Kane County, the sheriff, and he turned that down to form the Pinkerton Detective Agency.
On Washington
See, that's
Street.
An entrepreneur of wild stripe, to my mind.
And by the time Kate got here, he was already well established. He was the subject of Nickel novels, and which she had read on the train. Where'd she come from? Buffalo or Rochester or something?
Shemin County, New York.
And as a young widow, got on the train, knew not what she was going to do with her life.
Yeah.
Didn't have a nickel to her name except enough to buy one, you know, novella recounted the exploits of Alan Pinkerton, and walked right into his office and talked herself into a job.
When did you get this? When did you see this book?
There was a review in the Tribune. When was it reviewed in the Tribune?
April of 2015, so a year ago, April, and now it's in paperback.
And it jogged your memory of Denise's
at that
Denise
moment,
DeClue's
I thought,
script,
yeah.
And you said, "I got to read this book."
Yeah, it was like a reunion with with an old friend.
And I think we have the Oklahoma connection. I grew up in Oklahoma, and I think Jason's from
Okay,
Oklahoma.
So Rick
there
doesn't know this.
There
about
are a few
me.
Things.
I'm one of seven Jews born in Oklahoma. Yeah. I think there's maybe eight of us.
I think there's eight now. Yeah.
Who are the others? Yeah.
My sister actually is one of the other ones. She's an Okie from Muskogee.
Now we're down to five. We've got to figure out who the other five are.
But I picked up the phone, and I literally cold called Kate. And I
thought, he's crazy. And I actually told my husband, this is the restaurant where we're meeting. I'm going to try to eat outside. If you don't hear from me from 1:30, I want you to come.
Honey, I swear I'm not on Match.com. I swear this is not a Match. He says he's a movie producer.
And I think it was.
I thought he was a crazy man.
Well, and you were right. But talking about crazy, I think it was within minutes. Her husband's a physician. My wife, Lauren Stryker,
is indeed an eminent physician,
and not just a physician.
Been on the show,
and I don't know how, but of course I have become educated in all things female health,
yes.
Gynecologic, because of my wife. And I don't know how, but I launched right into a women's reproductive rights, you know, rant.
And Kate is like, this guy is really nuts.
So
this
it confirmed everything.
And I said, could we sit outside?
I have to, Jason, I'm sorry, I have to call my husband now.
Can we sit near the street in case I need to ride?
I think I did hear somebody yell security.
But Kate, you must have. I mean, once you get over the hypnotic enthusiasm of Jason Brett, you must have been terribly flattered and excited by this, were you not?
Yeah, I mean,
because this book, I mean, cinematic, this book is, absolutely. No question.
Absolutely. Thank you. Because the act of writing is a very solitary thing. And as you know, since you do it, and anybody out there who is trying to pursue something creative, you know that you have to agonize alone. It's you and the page. And so once you finish and the 60,000 words and you put it out in the world and you hope for the best.
Yeah.
And the editor who picked this book from whatever stack of manuscripts she had, she was excited by the idea. Her grandpa had given her a book of detective stories she was a kid.
That's great.
She really, really connected with that. So then once your book finds some love, it's an incredible feeling. And
yeah.
then to sit across the table from somebody who brings so much enthusiasm to it, like Jason, there was a point in the conversation when he just said, okay, so who do you imagine starring?
Oh, great. He is a producer.
And I thought, it was so out of body. I just kind of swept up above the tree right there at the little goat restaurant and just thought, and of course, my mind went blank. I couldn't think of a single person other than Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah, who should be in every movie.
She should
be
in every movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
She can play Pinkerton. She can play anybody. If she's in it, we'll get the movie made.
Timothy Webster.
We'll get the movie made. We got to take a break and get some news, but we are talking all this hour with Jason Brett, movie producer, educational entrepreneur, sings duets with Megan McDonough, who's singing on the radio tonight, and Kate Hannigan, who charmed a sixth grade class at the Ancona School, where a little girl named Fiona Cogan goes to school, and hence Fiona's dad. You've got to read. You have the Fiona's. I don't know if Fiona was up to listen to her review today, but she's not a. She has to go to bed. This isn't her. You know, 9 to 11 on Sunday night is not her kind of kill zone for being up.
I think it will be now.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be her show.
If you're still up, I hope you heard your review. You sounded great. You sounded smart. You used a word that Jason Brett and I have no idea what it means, but we're looking it up during the commercial break. So we got to take a little spot, then I'll get some news in, and then we'll continue on with these two lovely, lovely people.
The third annual Papa Hop's 16-inch softball tournament is Friday, July 15th at Kennedy Park, 113th and Western. All proceeds will benefit the Tom Hopkins Memorial Foundation, a 501c3 fund providing support to local youth athletics, assisting local families in need, and supporting the organizations that fight melanoma. You can find out more. Go to TomHopkinsMemorial.com. That's TomHopkinsMemorial.com.
So please stay tuned. You'll hear more of Megan McDonough. You'll hear more of Jason Brett. You'll hear a lot more of Kate Hannigan. Because we really have to tell you what the book's about. We've just been wallowing in the possibility, and I think a very distinct possibility, of having a movie made of this, produced by Jason Brett, executive produced by Fiona Cogan. So please stay tuned, and we'll explain how all of that is going to happen. That's the great Megan McDonough from her CD, My One and Only Love. You can read all about her and some of her upcoming performances in Tuesday's Tribune, and I hope you're one of those people who buys the Tribune. Because we newspaper people, we can't all be successful like Kate Hannigan leaving the newspaper business and writing a terrific, terrific book called The Detective's Assistant. I read it because my daughter Fiona said it was a great book, and it appealed to me because it's Chicago, and it was about it's based on a real Chicago figure, Kate Warren, who was the first private female private eye in the world. There was someone in France, but we don't know anything about her.
Universe.
And it's a very, for kids, especially for young girls. First, let me ask you, Kate, how do you decide when you come upon that story? There are a million ways
yeah.
a writer could go with that story. You could
yeah.
try a very straight biography.
Which I thought about doing.
Yeah.
A kid's picture book. But those are usually 32 pages. And I felt like her life needed more than 32 pages.
And the story just came together for you once you started to sit down to write, or did you plot it out, or how do you work?
Yeah, I mean, I've been in different writing groups, and there's definitely plotters, and then the flip side of that are the pantsers, people who write by the seat of their pants. So yeah. I became more of a plotter with this. And I did have some ideas, some things I wanted to accomplish with it. It definitely is a girl power book.
No question.
The world is full of boy power books, and I think it's fine to throw some girl power books in the mix.
Nope.
So I'm unapologetic about that.
Was the writing difficult for you?
Had you
written
so
a book before?
Yeah, I have a three-book series with Disney.
Oh, okay. What are the others?
So it's a early middle grade book called Cupcake Cousins, and it's three very sweet, very early when the training wheels are off.
Yeah.
This is still middle grade, which is that range from about second grade to about seventh, and then above seventh grade it gets. Life gets a little more complicated and darker.
Yeah.
So I really like middle grade. I feel like it's where the truths are. So when
there's also an innocence to those
absolutely.
Years, I think,
yeah.
where the world
yeah.
is, you don't have a lot of prejudices and everything is interesting. When you met Jason, and Jason is one of the most charming human beings on the face of the planet, when you met Jason Brett, and he talks a very good game, too, and you know why? Because he's sincere. That's a problem. That's a problem for him. You said you couldn't think of who would be in it, but did you start to? I mean, I'm telling you, the book, I found it to be very cinematic.
Yeah, yeah.
In its plotting and its mm-hmm. and its characterizations. Mm-hmm. You must have started to think about that now, and you too, Mr. Brett. I mean, have you thought the long way from option to screen? There's no question.
Sure.
It's a tough road, is it not?
Which is why it's that's a challenging. One can fantasize about who would be the perfect casting, but you know, a movie is easily 3 years from this discussion to the time you might have be casting it.
Well, how do you do it? What is first? Is a script?
Well, there's several ways to approach it. In a world,
how are you approaching this one?
Pursuing several different directions. There's the traditional studio direction, which is really that's the hardest bullseye to hit because studios today make primarily tentpole pictures, and this wouldn't fall under the it's closest to things like Harry Potter in the sense of the audience that they're going for.
I don't mind
from your lips, yes, from your lips.
And so that's a tentpole picture, and in fact, if we can convince a studio that there's more than one story here, that there's a continuing story of Kate Warren and Nell after they save President Lincoln's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can see the three possible, at least three, because this is the lead up to the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Book two is the Civil War, or film two. Film three, book three, would be the assassination. So,
Right.
It's easy to see it flow.
And it's interesting because, again, Kate Warren's history with the Pinkertons was actually very short. She died in 1868, right?
Yeah, pneumonia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so there's the typical studio route. There's the independent film route. There's now new players in entertainment that are truly muscling and moneying their way in, and we love it.
Netflix, Amazon.
There's
Amazon.
A lot of outlets.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places
yeah.
you can go.
Now, of course, a picture like this, which is a period movie, it's by nature more expensive than a romantic comedy. Contemporary romantic comedy. So, pardon me. So, it's not going to be an easy sell, but there are places to sell. And in fact, usually what you do with something like this is you attach a talent to it because that helps to bring vision to the project. And there are a lot of actors today that are also entrepreneurial. They're producing as well. So you might reach out to a Charlize Theron or a Jennifer Lawrence or an Emma Stone to be Kate, and they also have they're also doing their first
production
efforts.
Companies.
Exactly.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. So it's a healthier environment than it was when you made About Last Night.
I'd say it's from the studio side. It's less healthy. They're only interested in home runs by and large, and they're leaving the smaller movies or the movies that are smaller in sweep that don't rely on special effects and the big budget movies to be made by independents.
Well, what I'd like to add is that my take home from the first time I got together with Jason at that lunch was to quote him, he said, "There's no better time in Hollywood than right now to make a movie with a strong female lead."
Yeah.
And this story is all female empowerment.
Why don't you, before we take a break, in the next 4 minutes, why don't you, rather than I or Jason, tell the story of the detective's assistant? We're going to play after this, for you're going to hear someone who thinks it would make a good movie and why. But detail the story. Give the plot.
Yeah, right now?
Yeah.
So 11-year-old Nell is plopped onto her aunt's doorstep. And do I have a second to read just one
Absolutely,
little snippet?
Absolutely, sure.
So here's the dark underbelly of children's literature. You want to kill off the parents right away.
Yes.
And if you think of every single child's book out there, think about Harry Potter. Where are his parents?
Right. Uh-huh.
Curtains for them.
They just get in the way.
Yeah. So right away on like page 6, I kill everybody off. Accident, she laughed, though the sound that came out of her was anything but joyful. Is that what they're calling it? There's no they calling it anything, I corrected, a little peevishness coloring the edges of my voice now, too. There's just me. Ain't no Warrens left in Chemung County except me. I'm the very last one. Your mother? Whooping cough. Uncle Silas? Drowned. Aunt Martha? Scalded. Your brothers? One of scarlet fever. The other? Fell off the roof last December. Died the next week. So she is, by page 6, she
That's quick.
No
That's so, quick. That poor family.
That was kind of my send-up to
poor family.
Just kind of spoofing children's literature.
Sure, sure.
We clear the decks, and we have an orphan, and she's on her own. And so Nell is plunked down on the doorstep of her aunt, and she quickly discovers that her aunt is a detective, and the aunt wants nothing to do with her. And then we leap into the adventures that Kate Warren went on. So I based a lot of those on the Pinkerton's writings about the cases with Kate Warren and added some hilarity and then plunked an 11-year-old in playing a crucial part. So that's kind of the fiction mixed in with the history.
Sure. And you've got it in Lincoln's in the book.
And then the most important case is the Pinkertons helped thwart an assassination plot as Lincoln's train as he's trying to get to the physical White House for the inauguration in spring of 1861. There's a plot to assassinate him as he passes through Baltimore.
And which is true.
This is all fact. Yeah.
And it could be relatively easy because he's not traveling with an entourage.
Right.
Lincoln was no Donald Trump.
No, there's no secret
service. Many ways,
He had a burly friend, and that was his security detail. And the whole country is reading about his train route. In every paper across the country as he's making his way east, there's an announcement of when he's pulling into the station.
Which this book, it seems to me, because it sort of oozes off the pages, this must have been fun to write. I mean, no book is
so
easy, but it must have been great fun
for
you.
It was so much fun. It was a giddy thrill, as I said earlier. And I'm not going to criticize Harry Potter in any way, but when you read a lot of girls in literature, they're often, even though they're heroic and they get to do brave deeds, they're often on the sidelines tisking. I loved Hermione. I drive around. My license plate is Dumbledore. Like, we're Dumbledorks. We're big Harry Potter fans. But I will say that even Hermione sometimes is the mother figure. And I wanted to write a character where both the girl and the adult female are at the center of the action and unapologetically courageous and bold and brave.
You and your husband have one child?
We have three.
You have three.
It feels like a lot more.
What ages?
16-year-old daughter and then two boys. One's 14, one's 11.
What do they think of the book?
My daughter, I think, had a great time reading it. I think it was thrilling to her. And the boys, they know now. It was even in a bookstore yesterday, 57th Street Books down in Hyde Park. And my youngest son saw a female superhero board book for infants. And he picked it up and he said, "Let's look at this." So he knows to look for the feminist characters.
Have they met Jason Brett yet, though?
They have not yet.
All right, once they do, they'll have parts in the movie. We got to take a little break. Then you're going to hear another young woman, a 13-year-old, Simone Leonard, will tell you who she is, give her take about the book, because as thoughtful a critic as I think I can be, and I think this is a great book, it's really good to hear from the target audience. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. Voice of Megan McDonough. You can read all about her in Tuesday's Tribune. Today you can read a story of mine about whether Jesus had a wife or not. Now there's a movie. It was Jesus's wife. Let's hear another take. Again, as much as I trust my own critical abilities, it's always good to hear from others, young people who don't often get the chance to be critics, except like, I don't want to eat that, or I don't want to go there, or I don't want to do this. Simone Leonard is the daughter of, and this name will certainly ring a bell, that's a great singer-songwriter Tom Bishop, who is a great friend of Jason Brett's and mine, hasn't lived here in a good long time, and his wife, producer Michelle Leonard. Simone, again, is 13, and listen closely to this because she does mention film at the end of it. It's only a minute and a half or so.
Now Warren, an orphaned young girl, is left on the doorstep of her estranged aunt's house in Chicago. Grudgingly, her aunt takes her in as her own. Nell soon finds out that her aunt is the first female detective in the United States, hired by the Pinkertons Detective Agency. Nell is soon helping her aunt solve many cases as her assistant. Nell keeps in touch with her best friend, Gemma, an African-American girl who disappeared many years ago in the dead of night and was transported to safety by the Underground Railroad to Canada. Nell's aunt still holds a grudge against Nell's father, for she believes he killed her husband, his brother, all those years ago. Nell tries to uncover the mystery behind her uncle and father's death and how it is linked to Gemma's disappearance. With growing tensions between the South and North of the United States, Abraham Lincoln steadily moves the country towards civil war. In an attempt by the Pinkertons to protect Abraham Lincoln from assassination, Nell finally uncovers the mystery behind her uncle and father's death and grows hopeful that Gemma and her will be reunited when Abraham Lincoln is elected president and brings slavery to an end. The success of this movie all depends on who you get to carry the lead roles, especially Aunt Kitty. This will be the crucial point if this is turned into a movie. I could see it as a hit with girls, especially ages 8 to 13, seeing as Nell is a very inspiring character in that age group. It has a good plot and good characters. People enjoy seeing period pieces, especially about this point in history. Many people will enjoy the strong female leads, especially since it is based off a true story. This could easily be adapted into a great film.
Wow. Might as well just give the movie an Academy Award already. That was Simone Leonard offering her take not only on the book, I think, but on the possibilities for a film. What do you think of that review, Kate?
I love it. That was nicely done. That was nicely done.
She sounds like a great kid. I can't wait to meet her. What's the next step for you, Kate? Are you working on another book now?
Yes, I am.
What is it?
In a word, superheroes. Again, back to girls and history. I don't know how much I should say about it other than...
You don't have to say anything. You're in the midst of it.
Yeah. It's comic books came of age. Like the golden age of comics was during World War II.
Sure.
So this is... I've dug up some pretty interesting women from World War II who are the three... I have three protagonists. They have these women in their lives who are kind of superheroes, but these girls also become superheroes. So...
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Jason Brett's getting out a pen and a contract. This is unbelievable. Now that you've formed this relationship with Kate Hannigan, how often are you in touch? I mean, you have optioned the book, which gives you the right for a period of time to try to develop a movie. Do you talk to her about it every week? Every month, every time you're on this show?
Actually, Kate together. And I haven't spoken in some time because we were in the midst of life and other projects.
Yeah.
Right. Detective's Assistant actually marks a return for me to film and to visual narrative. I've spent the last, as you know, I've spent the last 5 years developing an educational platform that's now used in over 1,000 schools around the world and organizations and institutions. And it wasn't until I read the Tribune review of the Detective's Assistant that I just was galvanized and decided I'm not done telling stories.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
That's great. This is the catalyst for you getting back in the business of movies.
It is. And it's funny, you know, how, you know, whether it's muscle memory or a snowball rolling down a hill, but now I have three projects that I'm doing. And you know, much to perhaps Lauren's consternation, you know, hey,
yeah, I thought you
what about a day
nice.
Job? but no, I mean, we're developing. Actually, Lauren's very enthusiastic. She loves the book and she loves the other couple projects that we're doing including Kate, live thing.
Sure.
We'll talk about it another time in a live immersive theater thing. And theater, of course, being my background with the Apollo Theater here in Chicago. So I'm returning to those roots, too.
You have had some career. Kate, do you feel part of the literary community here now?
You know, yes and no. So, yes, I feel like there's an international children's organization called SCBWI that is big all over the United States, big in Illinois. And Chicago is a nice writing town. It's a great writing town. So we have a lot of...
What do you mean by that?
There are so many generous writers who present at meetings and coffee shops and bookstores all over the city, who will critique, who will speak at larger conferences for just Illinois and regionally. We have an SCBWI group that meets at 57th Street Books on the south side. There's some on the northern suburbs, mm-hmm. Another group here in the city. We pull from Indiana. We pull from many, many places.
And like the old days when authors would just meet at O'Rourke's or the Ale House and get drunk. And this sounds almost too businesslike for me.
We have brownies.
I might add that equally exciting is there really is, for the first time in the decades now that I've been involved in the entertainment industry, both here and in L.A., there's a real film community that's exploding in Chicago, largely because of the barrier to entries has been lowered with technology. It costs a lot less to do things. It still comes down to great material,
right?
Great script. Mm-hmm. But you can capture it now for a lot less money.
I mean, it's always come down to what it's always come down to, which is the word,
yes.
To my mind.
If it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage,
yeah.
To say.
And you're pretty confident about this, right?
Well, I certainly feel great about the material going in. So, you know, if you feel good going in, you're going to likely be very happy coming out. And the rest of it's a battle.
Yeah.
I mean, I think anybody who has Netflix and tries to find a movie to watch with their kids, it can be daunting.
Which is why Netflix and Amazon have both invested heavily in family divisions.
Is that right? Yeah. Relatively
that's great
recently.
To hear. This is,
yeah,
because
this is
it's there's such a lack of
yeah, you would
material,
know. You so, would know with kids that age.
Yeah, and we try to do family movie night and we wind up watching House Hunters.
Rocky Five. Yeah.
Come on, kids, gather around. House of Cards is on.
Yeah, right. It's tough. It's a little tough. So I feel like, you know, there's a lot of promise for a movie coming out now.
The book is available anywhere and everywhere. Anywhere online and everywhere at some of your finest independent bookstores. 57th Street, run by Kevin Elliott, is among the best. Do you do signings and appearances?
Yeah, I do a lot of school visits, too.
Kate's website is katesbooks.com with no apostrophe, KATESBOOKS, if you've forgotten how to spell books. Jason Brett doesn't. Well, you have Mashplan. You got a million websites, don't you?
Mashplan is the educational platform, yeah. And actually, the entertainment entity is called Portofino Partners. So that's if somebody wants to look up PortofinoPartners.com, they'll see.
I didn't even know this.
Well, you dig it.
See, but what I love about very impressed. Just in talking about the creative community that is Chicago, I hear about the book from my daughter Fiona, who just loved the book and said, you know, Dad, you should read this. She doesn't really think like you should have people on the radio show. Maybe she will after tonight. But, Dad, you should read this. And the next thing I know, I read it, and I want Kate on the radio show. And she mentioned Jason Brett. And so we're this kind of unit here. I can't wait to have you two on when Amazon, we just signed. You know what? You'll come on when you sign the deal with Amazon. And then you'll come on when it premieres on Amazon. Kate, continued success. I love
Thank you.
Newspaper people, especially those who go on to write books, because that is a hard thing. Out of the millions of newspaper people I know who have left the business, there aren't many who've been able to pull it off. So it's not my right to be proud of you, but I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much.
And you, Jason Brett, what can I say?
Well, it wasn't my fault.
You may come in here. Well, you can be on next when you get into the medical business and you discover the cure for cancer, and then we can come on the show and talk. Who knows in your life? Who knows?